What up, world? It's your boy News, representing Ringside Rave all day. Y'all know what it is with me, man. Hey, today I'm sitting here chilling, you know, like I do, like a villain, keeping it old school, making a killing. Sitting with the platinum cookie dough, got the sour diesel mix. I don't even know what I'm going to call this. I don't know, sour cookie? I don't know. Platinum OG, too. It's like a triple scoop. Anyway, I'm feeling real good, feeling real fly, feeling real high. Y'all know how I do it. And I'm chilling here with my fellas with me. I'm going to swing it around the table to them paws.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Smoke. And shockingly, Smoke is on a smoke break because I'm trying to procreate. But for real, I'm just trying to keep that tolerance down. But let's get to it because tonight is an important episode.
I'm sorry. What's good, y'all? It's Pat Scorpio, the New England representative, man. And, you know, I'm just chilling. I just had some rice and fish. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just chilling here with this glass of Merlot as always, man. So let's get to this.
yeah, y'all. So first we're going to start off with, talking about Sean Porter, the Sean Porter versus Yordynis Thugas card. So let's talk about that. We can skim through the undercard a little bit. Did y'all see anything that y'all want to talk about the undercard? Cause I didn't.
I'll talk about, you know, I got to talk about my, you know, my fellow Nigel Bray, you know, F.A. Ajaba, you know, unfortunately, you know, he got Amir Mansour was chosen to be a victim. Yeah, he looked every bit of the 46-year-old. I mean, he's too old and had too many hard fights. And, you know, Ajaba just wiped him out. I mean, it's absolutely scary how much power he's delivering with his arm punches.
Yo.
Like he can punch correctly, but the arm punches are having these cats do all types of crazy shit, you know, when you get hit by them.
I didn't see that one. And the only fight I've really seen Amir Mansour lose is when he got, I mean, like, lose badly was when he got his jaw broken into multiple pieces by Brazil. So did young F.A. knock him out the ring, or what happened?
Well, he did knock him out the ring. He knocked him onto the apron, but he got back
Yo!
Up.
That's my future heavyweight.
You know, but after two rounds, luckily Amir's corner after the second round saved him from possibly going to sleep. They pulled him out because they was like, nah, it's over. And then Amir Mansour retired. He officially retired after that fight.
Yeah. So he retired. So didn't F.A. get like $8,000 for that fight?
He did.
What do you think Amir Mansour got for his retirement beating? Yo, like normally at like big companies and shit like that, when you're about to retire, they give you a ring or like a pendant or something like that. And Amir Mansour sounds like he caught a concussion on his way out.
I mean, like I said, I mean, it could have been a lot worse, but his corner pulled him out. They cared about him. So, it was necessary because, like I said, I didn't like to see Mansour getting punched around like he did. He was clearly washed. But F.A. Ajaba, man, you know, like I said, I mean, it was good for him because he got, you know, that national TV exposure and he delivered a brutal stoppage. So,
I brought up F.A. on when we were talking about, like, the rest of the heavyweights, and you put him versus Joe Joyce. I think that's a lit fight.
Versus Joe Joyce?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind that.
I mean, you have Joe Joyce fighting fucking, what's it called, Gravedigger version of Stavern. And Stavern landed clean counters on him. F.A. throws half a punch, and dudes get knocked, like, literally off their feet.
Right. Yeah. So, he's a monster.
It's very rare that you actually see young prospects like that fight. I mean, it's rare because, I mean, we all know the business. I mean, we all know that, you know, you got to build them up. And a young prospect fight is rare, you know.
Yeah.
Especially at heavyweight,
where
it's slim picking. So I would like to see that fight, but of course they're not going to give us that.
No, of course
that would be a great fight to see for sure.
How old is F.A.?
I don't know, man.
I'm pretty sure he's in his 20s. Joe Lewis is in his 30s. He's pretty. He doesn't have a lot of time. Oh, he's 23. Yeah, Ajabo is 24 years old, so he has plenty of time. 24? Yeah.
Okay. Ooh,
that's crazy power for 24.
Joe Joyce is 33. Like I said, he doesn't have a lot of time.
Yo,
33.
As we said before, Joe Joyce is 33 and in the I'm still developing mode. And what would a woman say to you if you told her that you were 33 and you were still developing?
I don't know.
Not some positive news.
Huh?
Not something positive.
I don't know. I ain't never been in that situation.
Develop your ass into a house, dog. Yo, but speaking of development,
yeah,
our boy Mal, the golden voice, the normal host, the man with the kids, picked Mr. Ugas to be Sean Porter, and if he would have put money on that, he would have almost got a huge payday back.
Almost, but again, almost don't count.
Right.
So, yeah, but speaking of that, though, that's the fight. So, Sean Porter, Ugas. That fight was so I don't know how to describe it because it was like a mixed feeling fight.
It was a letdown in terms of on paper it was one of the better offerings, but Porter did fight his usual fight. He tried to actually box with Ugas, which is why I thought was kind of odd. I mean, he didn't really try to have that wild shit that he usually does.
Right. Well, I mean, after giving Danny Garcia pretty much a little bit of a boxing lesson, I told y'all, you got to remember Sean Porter. Remember when Sean Porter was up at 154? He used to be on his toes. Yeah, he used to be on his toes a little bit. Anybody that presses Sean Porter, he cannot hurt you, or his power, he doesn't rough you. That's when you start seeing him go to his boxing game and try to pull that, because it's crazy, though, if you really think about it, because of how crude and rough he looked as a fighter a few years ago when he first got to 147, and the fact that depending on the opponent or depending on the situation, he'll just go to straight boxing you. That's crazy.
Yo,
that
shows the
versatility. But I wasn't impressed with that fight. I wasn't, like, it was a good competitive fight the whole way. I talked mad trash, so I wasn't impressed, of course. I was not impressed with what I seen. I was impressed with Ugas. Definitely showed that he's on that top level. I wouldn't pick a Danny Garcia over Ugas.
Well, told you. So,
I'm just saying.
Told you.
So our boy P stepped in the building, and before we let him speak his clout, let me say this. I did see some stuff from Sean Porter that shows that he can actually box. Like, his footwork was on point. He was actually setting traps for Ugas that he never capitalized on because there was too much firepower coming back. And to me, what that says is if you can get Sean Porter in a fight that he doesn't like, which is kind of the one that Ugas presents, you can beat him. And Sean Porter definitely fights to the level of his competition. And I think that has 100% to do with his trainer, his father, Kenny Porter, because I think that when it comes to the level of opponents that he's facing, he doesn't bring the same energy. And, you know, that affects Sean.
You think so? I do. I think it's the fact that his physical dimensions is the fact that Sean Porter is, I mean, he's, of course, he's big, he's brolic, but at the same time, he's short with shorter arms. So that changes your style. When you can't bulldoze somebody, for example, I'll put it like this. If I'm fighting somebody in real life, I'm going to bulldoze you, right? I wouldn't be able to bulldoze a Pat, right? Because Pat is much taller than me, right? So I would have to try to fight differently, or end up getting my ass whooped, right? That's what Sean Porter experiences. To me, every time he gets in the ring with somebody, it's at least 2 to 3 inches taller than him. That's to me. That's how it looks to me. When you're about his size, he just runs through you, tries to manhandle you, push you around, fight real physical. If you're bigger than him, that's when he starts trying to. He's a little tender. He's kind of like Ron Dane on his tiptoes.
See, Smoke, that's what I was trying to say. You said that Porter has footwork, and I agree, but I wasn't feeling it because it's a different type of footwork. If you get what I'm saying, he doesn't, his footwork isn't that of, a boxer. He moves, footwork. He looks like a football player in there, which makes sense because he played football.
He was a running back.
He was making cuts in the ring to kind of, avoid Ugas. But I don't think that style looked as – I'm not saying it wasn't effective. I was just saying that I don't think, off of optics, it didn't look as good. So some people thought, he was running. He wasn't trying to engage, rather than what you said of setting traps. So I thought it was a good strategy to use the footwork, but because it was like a football player doing cuts, it didn't come off well to a lot of people. I know a lot of people told me that too. And it looked it looked like he was running. It didn't look like he was trying to engage like people know Sean Porter to be, because people know Sean as one way.
Yeah, and so I think that cost him a couple rounds in the fight, because shout out to footwork, because footwork is the fundamental basis of boxing. But Sean was doing some stuff like he was going to his left, then going back to his right, then back to his left, then pivoting back to his right. It's on some very advanced boxing stuff.
The only thing in this fight, though, is they weren't engaging. What killed the fight is they weren't engaging. There were a lot of motherfuckers.
Ugas was getting too busy putting his hands up instead of actually going to work. And that's one thing that I didn't like, even though I had Ugas winning. I felt like at too many times, especially in the seventh and eighth round, which those two rounds to me were clear, eight and nine, where it were clear Porter rounds. Ugas was just standing, and he was just putting his hands up and following Porter, but not doing anything. So, he should have been trying to pressure Porter and actually start throwing punches, but, he would just put his hands up, get Porter to the ropes, and then Porter would pivot out, and then he'd just follow him. And Porter would hit him with a couple of shots, and he wasn't doing anything. So that cost him rounds, and in many ways, you could say that cost him the fight.
So you said cost him the fight, and that makes me want to talk about something. 12th round, Ugas hits Porter in the neck/shoulder. He falls to the canvas, which everyone knows that is a 1-point deduction, a knockdown. Or it's a slip. What do you guys think? Knockdown or slip?
It was a knockdown.
Because
I didn't see the feet didn't entangle and he didn't slip. There wasn't a slipping motion. He got hit on the shoulder and he went down.
And if anything, the thing is that to me, the thing that in my mind cemented it as a knockdown to me, when I replayed it, I watched Porter's actions after he got up. Usually when a fighter slips and they know they slipped and they get up, they're looking at their feet, they're moving their feet around jiggling it around to, show all my feet are fine, yada, yada. He's bouncing up and down, nodding his head at his corner, on some, I'm okay, I'm not hurt. Which to me makes it seem like, in my mind, Porter himself thought he was knocked down.
If y'all have ever drank with someone who doesn't drink that much, and then y'all take, a shot of Patron or something, and, they shake their head after, this didn't affect me, this ain't shit. It affected them, and it was shit. And that's the face that Porter made. News, what do you think?
News?
Yo, so our boy News is taking a little lapse here, he is an Ohio player, so he would ride for Sean Porter. So right now, I think, P, you have it as a knockdown, and it sounds like you have Ugas winning.
I'm guessing, I had him winning.
By the knockdown?
I had him winning 115 to 113. Even with the knockdown, even if he didn't knock him down, like even not counting the knockdown, I still had him winning the fight. Now, here's the thing. I'm not mad. At first, when they announced the decision, I wasn't mad at a quarter win because I could see, depending on how you scored the fight, I'd see them giving it to Porter because it was very close, especially the first six rounds were very tough to score. So I could see those first six rounds going either way. I had it 3-3 at the end of six for I had it tied, but you could flip it depending on how you look at the rounds. I'm not mad at them at Porter winning. I wasn't mad. I didn't call robbery. I didn't say Ugas got screwed. It wasn't until I looked at the scorecard for the judges that I started getting upset. And
wow.
Now I thought Ugas got screwed. Because let's not take down the knockdown into effect. Let's just say if you want to say it was a slip. Here's the thing. I looked at all the judges' scorecards. And I saw Judge Max DeLuca, who had the Luca. Yep. He was the one that scored the fight 115 for 113 to Porter. He was that third person that broke, that made the split decision. 115 to 113. That's fine. I can understand that. However, when I looked deeper and I looked into his scorecards, he gave Porter the 12th round. Let's pretend it was a slip. Regardless of whether it was a knockdown or not, the 12th round was a clear Ugas round. That was a clear Ugas round. I do not see how you can give that round to Porter. That should have been, and the other ones gave it to Porter. It should have been 10, gave it to Ugas. It should have been a 10-9 Ugas fight. So even if it's a slip, that 12th round should have went to Ugas, and it should have been a draw. And if it was ruled correctly as a knockdown, then Ugas wins the fight. So in essence, Ugas did get screwed because the judge wasn't fucking watching. I don't know what he was watching during that 12th round. Maybe he was watching some fly bitch in the arena or something that was close to him, but he sure as hell wasn't watching the fight. He sure as hell wasn't watching the fight in that round because that was a clear Ugas round. So Max DeLuca, fuck you, eat a dip.
Yo, Max DeLuca, you are being put on notice. You are getting put into the Julie Leatherman category, which means we don't fuck with your scores at all. But speaking of all that, we have an Ohio player in the building by the name of News. News, slip, knockdown.
Man, I had it as a knockdown. And excuse me, y'all, I had to switch my mics out. Mother mic, for some reason, went down right when I was about to turn up, so it knew I must have been about to say something crazy.
Yo, so did your mic drop like Sean Porter did?
But yeah, I feel exactly like Pete. Like, I picked Porter to win by domination, clear. Ugas never been on this level. All that good Ohio player stuff I threw in there. You know what I'm saying? And then once again, it's a close fight. The 12th round itself, I gave it to the 12th round. Ugas should have had that with the knockdown. I think he should have had the fight with that knockdown. I mean, that's really all I could say about it.
So is your scorecard based on the knockdown?
Yeah.
Or not knockdown?
Yeah. Yeah, because my scorecard was similar. Like, I had Sean Porter winning, like, if I could remember, like, 7-5, 8-4.
Yeah. Yo, so
I mean, it depends on how you fight. But, yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go.
P had Ugas winning. News, the Ohio player, the original, had his boy, Sean Porter, losing or drawing, depending on the situation. Pat, how did you feel about that?
I had Ugas winning by like 115-113. It was a close fight because Ugas was just too negative in some spots, and Porter was just flat out ineffective. So there was a lot of canceling out. I mean, it was just like, all right, which one of these niggas is doing a little bit more than the others, man? It was that type of fight. And so it was a close fight, you know, but Ugas won it. It wasn't a highway robbery or anything like that. It was a disappointment knowing that Ugas probably with a more aggressiveness. And a lot of Cuban fighters don't fight with a lot of aggressiveness for some reason. It's a rarity. He could have won that fight.
So, before we kind of wrap this topic up, Pete, you sound like you got something to speak on it.
No, I was just going to say that I knew from the beginning, after the first two rounds, because I gave the first two rounds to Porter, and then I went online, I'm on Twitter, and I'm seeing some people give it to Porter, and I see some people say 2-0 Ugas, 1-1, 1-1, 2. I'm like, I knew, like, after the fourth round, I'm like, I know this is going to be one of those fights where end of the fight, I'm going to see a whole bunch of difference. Like, everybody's going to have a fucking different scorecard. It almost reminds me of, like how I always say with, you know, one of my favorite rappers is Redman. If you ask every single person, what's your favorite Redman album or what's the best Redman album, you're gonna get like so many different answers. You will. I've heard every answer. Well, it's the same thing with this fight. You ask every single person who you thought had up, they're gonna give you like totally different scores every time. There was no clear cut.
So, P, you speak your clout. So if we go around the table, it sounds like we had, as a crew, Ugas winning. Yes?
No. I have Porter winning.
Ma had Ugas winning. I know
Ugas could have won.
As a squad.
Nope. I can't ride with that. I'm about to be the rogue. I'm about to be the bad apple in the bunch. No spoiler for everybody. The high off players had to bring that home. We had to bring that home, baby. We got to keep that championship in Ohio, man. Listen, we lost LeBron already, man. How much else y'all want from us?
Yo, I'm going to say this. News. Next time you go to the barber shop, and shout out to Liddell or whatever your boy is.
Lavelle, yeah. Shout out to Lavelle. Shout out to the fadeaway barber shop.
Shout out to Lavelle.
I'll be there Wednesday.
For keeping my boy News with the waves and all that, no homo. So it sounds like because I had the card a draw, P had a victory for Ugas, Pat the same, News you were for Porter. So it sounds like it's 2-1-1.
And so, I know, and he's not here, but shout out to Maul. I know Maul had it for Ugas as well. So if you count him, that's another one for Ugas.
Well, P, no offense to our boy Mal, but no participation credit on this one. So I'm gonna say that the Ringside Rave crew went 2-1-1, and Ugas should be the new WBC champion.
You know,
I guess if y'all want to go out for that, but
The one thing I gotta say is before we
get to the main event.
Yeah, before we get to all this, I just want to say win, lose, or draw. I feel in my opinion, Ugas' stock has went up, and I want to see him. I want to see, and I'm happy for him because I like Ugas, and he's a support. He's been a supporter. He's like favored our stuff. So definitely. Shout out to him. And I want to see him, even if he doesn't win, I want to see him in the mix now with these guys because he's proved that he can hang. So now it's a good thing because now we have another guy that we can put in the mix that belongs. We can put him against Porter again. We can put him against Thurman, Spence, Danny Garcia. And even if he doesn't win, it's all good fights.
Yo, so if we're talking about future fights for Ugas, tell me that the winner of Adrian Granados versus Danny Garcia would not be a great fight for Mr. Ugas.
No, I wouldn't say that. I would say if Danny Garcia wins, yes. If Adrian Granados wins, no. Oh. That's the type of fights that Adrian Granados has been fighting for years.
That's,
you know, those. Yeah, that's a ceiling fight.
Well, the funny thing is, doesn't Granados have a win over the guy who before this weekend gave Ugas his only loss in Amir
Imam? I think he beat Imam. He gave AB hell. He gave Sean Porter hell. If he beats Danny Garcia, Adrian Granados, maybe that Adrian Granados may be getting that call from Terrence Crawford in late fall. I'm just saying.
I can see Ugas.
Adrian Granados got to get that payday, man.
He
definitely been putting in work.
Granados beating Swift straight off activity.
Pretty much.
Pat.
Boxing.
I don't think Granados is
underrated.
Granados is underrated, and you guys know how I feel about Danny Garcia. I said this motherfucker can't box. He's not, you know, motherfucker struggle boxes, and you see where he is at now. I'm expecting Granados, but Ugas himself, like I said, it'll be a good fight, but I mean, remember, like I said, he was taken to the brink by Thomas Delorme, so he's not like some flawless boxer.
To be fair, Delorme isn't a terrible fighter either. He's a solid fighter himself. His issues aren't boxing. His issues are his fucking chin and his heart. But that's another story altogether.
Right.
Speaking of another story, I'm about to get to a story.
Woo!
And this story is called The Nightmare in Dallas, starring
Uh-oh.
Errol Spence and Mikey Garcia.
Uh-oh.
That's what it's about to be this Saturday. It's about to be a nightmare.
Yeah.
All this talk. We're about to get to it. It's been a lot of talk. Errol Spence undefeated at welterweight. Nobody to fight. Nobody willing to stand in the ring with him, stand across the ring from him. The only person willing to get in the ring with him, young Angel, Mikey Garcia, right?
Mikey Garcia, Hispanic Floyd.
Mikey Garcia. He got victories over Adrian Broner, victories over Robert Easter Jr., took his O and his belt and dropped him. In
shout
that fight,
out to Bandcamp.
Right? But his last fight was at 135. Now, he did fight at 140, which he won that fight. But he's pretty much jumping up two weight classes. Even though he fought at 140, he's pretty much jumping two weight classes from 135 to 147 to fight the man, in my opinion, the man that you need to see at 147, Errol Spence. At worst, the second best welterweight.
Yep, second best welterweight.
Right.
You know? And so, with that all being said, and that's the most I can give, and listen, fans, I try my best. I try to be as unbiased as possible in just that little description of the fight. Because come this Saturday, it's over. The Mikey Garcia show is closed. It's closed for business. Box office, it was fun while it lasted. Everything was good. Errol Spence about to beat this dude back down to 135. Maybe about to beat the weight off this boy.
Yo,
Easy work.
A great introduction to
easy
our
work.
Main event in shout out to News. But so I am from the Mikey Garcia fan base, and Mikey Garcia is probably my favorite fighter outside of Timothy Bradley. All that being said, if Errol Spence isn't cutting down to welterweight where he has a 20-plus pound advantage on most welterweights, if he would have stayed at 154, would we be talking about him as much right now? But that's not the point. So the point is we're going skills against size. Pause. Mm-hmm. And Mikey Garcia has the skills and spades, and Errol Spence has the size and body punching. So it's like what preference do you put to? Do you put to skills pay the bills, or the size make your eyes go wide?
Pause.
No, man. For me, like I said, it's just I don't even look at the skill or anything like that. I just look at the simple fact of just the fighting styles of the two fighters. Earl Spence is a come forward, walk you down fighter, but guess what? Mikey Garcia is a stand there and trade with you from mid range type of fighter. He's not really going to be away from Earl Spence. He's much smaller. What is he, 5'6"? 5'5"?
Yeah, Mikey Garcia. I've met Mikey Garcia, and he is pretty small. Yeah,
he's really small. Like, he's really small. And Earl Spence is a legit. It's legit, like you said. I'm gonna start calling him Earl Legit. That's what he is. Earl Legit. Earl Legit. You know what I mean? He fought at a higher weight class. Of course he did. He melted down to 147. With all that being said, he's going to put that weight on, come fight. He's going to be normal Earl Spence, prime Earl Spence, standing across the ring from Mikey Garcia. I just don't see how Mikey Garcia beats him. That's what I'm not hearing. I'm just hearing about how Mikey Garcia survives, how Mikey Garcia gets a participation award, how we give Mikey Garcia some cookies at the end of the fight because he lasted the distance. But I don't hear how he's going to win. So are we watching the fight just to hope he makes it to the hopes he makes it to the full, just completes the race? Is that all we were looking for Mikey Garcia, just to complete the race, and then he gets a congratulations and a pat on the back?
So
if that's the case, that's just an easy bag fight then.
News.
Like I thought.
News. When your boy The Truth, Errol Spence, who I will say is a beast and a dominating force at 147, I don't even think he medaled in the Olympics. And when that was going on, Mikey Garcia was fighting for championships.
Right.
And so I will say this.
Mm-hmm.
Mikey Garcia, when it comes to the weight and all that, is obviously an underdog, and he's obviously a betting underdog. But there are things that if you watch from the feet up, if you've been paying attention to our cast, from the feet up is where boxing actually happens. Mikey has distinct advantages over Spence if he is able to use his feet and get out of the way of pressure. And by that, I mean if he is able to hit the left hook to the body and then get away from Spence, I believe it will discourage Spence when the adjustment rounds come.
Well, I just feel like, even to address your point about, like, Truth, he didn't get that medal. But you know what he was? An Olympian. Mikey Garcia didn't even make it to the Olympic team.
No, he went straight pro, right?
He was never even a gold medalist as a Golden Glover. He is a good fighter. He is a good fighter.
Good.
But, yeah, he's a good fighter. We don't know what he's like at welterweight. Again, we're jumping weight classes. We don't really see a lot of welterweights jumping from 135 to lightweight jumping from 135 to 147 and becoming a great welterweight. So I'm giving him the benefit of a doubt by even saying he's a good welterweight. But if anything, he's an undersized welterweight.
So
just legit, he's an undersized welterweight. He's 5'6", and he eats himself up to 160.
It's
an undersized welterweight. That's Adrian Broner.
Yes. So it's funny that you bring that up, because one of Mikey's kind of statement wins was beating Adrian Broner about 20 months ago. And something that people will come back to in reference to the Spence fight is that at the end of the Broner fight, Broner hit Mikey with maybe one or two body shots, and Mikey took a step and a half backwards and then kind of shelled up for like 12 seconds, and then he went back to consistently punching Adrian Broner in the face. And so the real question is, right, this is the fundamental question about the fight. Will the extra weight that Errol Spence carries be too much for Mikey Garcia.
My thing about this fight, as I told you before, this fight gives me Triple G Brooke vibes. When this fight was, I had no interest in it. I really didn't want to see this fight because besides the Triple G Brooke vibes, both of them could be fighting better competition in their own respective divisions. So, and it wasn't a fight where it's like, it seemed like, both of them cleared out their divisions or anything like that. It just seems like it's just a random fight put together for all the wrong reasons. And in this particular case, Mikey is a very skillful fighter. There's no question about that. But sometimes there's a fight that's just too damn big. Doesn't matter. I mean, skill is everything, but it's not the end game to everything. And this is what, and that's why I feel it's going to happen. Like, Spence is going to punish Mikey physically. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that Mikey can't, you know, he's Mexican, so I know he's going to give it as good as he gets. But I just don't see him taking 12 rounds because he's not 12 rounds of Spence punishment.
Yeah.
See his brother throwing in the towel. And let me say this. Let me just follow up on Pat's point. I can see Robert Garcia throwing in the towel. That fight.
Nope.
Remember what happened when they fought Orlando Salido. That fight didn't go the distance either. They'll get Mikey up out of there if they got to. And that's what's going to happen this Saturday night. That fight's not going 12, I'm telling you. But, let me say this, and I'll let y'all finish. I just want to say this one thing. When we talk about the Adrian Broner fight and all that, remember Mikey Garcia's fight at 140, though. You have to remember him versus Lipinets and how Mikey Garcia power looked versus Sergey Lipinets. We were saying that he was not a great puncher at 140. We said he had good power. So now we're taking him up another weight against one of the biggest fighters at 147. Just we got to keep that in mind.
As far as skills and size and what's important and all that, and if skills the end all be all or size, my opinion, my ideology with that has always been skills trump size when the skills are too wide over the size. And can you say that about Mikey? Can you say that Mikey is that much more skilled than Spence to ignore the size? Is he that much better than So let me put it like this: if you rate like an A plus smaller fighter could beat a bigger fighter that's like if you would rank him a C. Yeah, of course. Bro, are you going to say an A-plus small guy will beat an A big guy? Absolutely not. The ranking is arbitrary. My point is size matters when the gap isn't big enough between the skills between the two people. And in this case, I don't think Mikey is that much more skilled than Spence to overcome the enormous size. So in this case, I would just have to go with Spence off that because Spence in itself, Spence is not no, people treat him like he's a wax fighter that's just has size. Like, no, he's not a brute that doesn't have any skills. He has skills. So, and he has technique. So when you combine his size and his skills, it's just too much for Mikey. It just is. And at some point, size has to make a difference. And in this case, it does. I'm sorry. Mikey can be as skilled as he wants to, but he's not that skilled that he's that much more overspent. So I can't see it happen.
And I will say to counter that point that Spence is very skilled, but his skill levels are very much based upon how much weight he cuts. And the reason I say that, it is shade towards Spence, is that you started out at 154, and there's a couple examples of you getting rocked at 154 in terms of Errol Spence. And then you cut down, right? So he's walking around at 185, 190, and coming into the fight at 147. So I think that, obviously, I'm being biased as a Mikey Garcia fan, if Mikey is able to move his feet away from Errol Spence's power, so Errol Spence's power comes mainly from his left from his left hand, right? So if Mikey is able to circle away from that while still popping punches and making adjustments in the fight that, no offense to Spence and Derek James, they do not have, Spence doesn't have the boxing IQ to implement, Mikey has a much better chance than I think you guys are giving him.
I listen, you could say that, yeah, he could avoid the punches for the first couple rounds, but yeah. eventually the body work is going to take its toll. And he's going to get to the body eventually. And eventually he's going to do enough work that Mikey's going to slow down. Mikey's not going to have fresh legs in the ninth round like he will in the second round. It's not going to happen. I can't see it. And you even mentioned Broner getting to him and freezing him up. Or a Broner that doesn't fight punches. You said it yourself.
Right.
Now we got a guy that throws plenty of punches that goes to the body all the time. So there's going to be pressure. There's going to be pressure from round one, and it's not going to stop. It's going to be all night pressure. Not a guy that doesn't throw his hands, and that guy that didn't throw his hands was still able to freeze you for a minute. Now imagine a guy that throws bunches of punches every fucking round.
And let me say this too. Also, because like we're bringing up his size, but exactly, Errol Spence is a much bigger fighter, right? Much stronger. And look what he did to Cale Brook. But not just that. Look what he did. People forget what he did to Lamont Peterson. Lamont Peterson got destroyed in seven rounds.
So, News, what year was it that Lamont Peterson fought Amir Khan? Was it 2009?
When he fought Amir Khan? It was 2011.
Okay, so that was 8 years ago, and right. Lamont Peterson fought Spence last year, correct?
But he fought Danny Garcia in 2015.
Okay, so 3 years between fights, right?
Yeah, 2.5 years.
So all I'm saying is that
wait, that doesn't take away from the point because you bring up Lamont Peterson. The point is, Lamont Peterson is a much bigger fighter than Mikey Garcia, and he was I know. And the point was, he chopped him down to size. Cale Brook was a much bigger fighter than Mikey Garcia, and he chopped him down to size. What do you think he's going to do with Mikey Garcia?
So
he made Cale quit.
Right. How do you see Errol Spence beating up big fighters, much bigger? Lamont Peterson is much bigger than Mikey Garcia. And so is Cale Brook. And look what happened to them.
So,
and you're bringing this 5'6", you're bringing this 5'6" lightweight to 147 to fight Spence too? But he's gonna go 12. All right.
Counter to that is
Errol Spence is no Lada Cannon. He's no Adrian Broner. He's no Sergey Lipinets. Robert Issa Jr.
And Mikey Garcia is no Cale Brook. Or anyone else that Errol Spence
We don't know what Mikey
fought.
Garcia
but,
would be
yeah,
able
no,
to
actually,
win.
Actually,
but Cale Brook was a top. But Cale Brook was a top. Cale Brook was a top fighter in the welterweight division, though. And we forget that some people had him number one in
That's
the division at one point.
Right. Mikey Garcia hasn't beat a welterweight, so we don't know how good of a welterweight he is.
What was the fight for Cale Brook before Errol Spence?
GGG. He got the Mikey Garcia special.
So if we're gonna go down that route,
he got the Mikey Garcia special.
just keeping it a buck. Triple G. As much as I am not a fan of him,
Smoke is also not a fan of Cale Brook either. Just to let you guys know.
I'm not a fan of Cale Brook because he pushes his punches and he uses his size to win fights against jobbers.
But you're a fan of Tim Bradley, which
I knew that was coming.
So here's the thing, Pat. Did Tel Brook ever fight Tim Bradley? Or did he say, no, I don't want that. I want a shot at the IBF. Because the answer is the second. So what you talking about, Willis?
Well, we're not about to talk about...
You can't talk about Tel Brook punching, but be a fan of Tim Bradley, who fucking flails his punches and uses his head. That doesn't make
sense. Yeah, I was going to say. This guy leaves it with his head.
Wait, what was
punching is embarrassing for a top player.
What was Tim Bradley's record as a professional fighter?
Let's see.
I mean,
30.
We got a better record than Kell Brook. But come on, man, we're not about to get turned into a retired Tim Bradley.
I was just gonna say, please, like, no disrespect to Tim Bradley, but please let's not make this about him. The point
he's talking about Spence and Garcia. All right.
So let's the point.
No, I'm saying the point is when you've had bigger justice quality fighters, and I'm not even gonna put them over Mikey's just on ranking them skill wise, but just on that same still quality fighters. Kell Brook, I still rank him I don't think he's great, but I think he's at least a solid B. Now you put a solid B guy at the same size as Spence against let's call Mikey an A, but he's significantly he's significantly smaller. So at that point, it's like, okay, size, skill. A B fighter that's as big as Spence, I put equally with an A fighter who's much smaller. So Spence he dispatched a bigger quality guy, a B fighter. So you're saying that Mikey is that much more skilled than Brook? Like, even if you want to call Mikey an A, Mikey, you could call him an A fighter.
Whoa.
Brook is, and Mikey, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
What would you rank him? What would you rank him as a fighter? Like, give him a letter grade.
Letter grades don't apply. Out of 100, he's a 94.5. And Kell Brook, hold up. Kell Brook is like an 86, and Errol Spence is like an 88.
But that's the thing. So you have an A fighter. You have you rank Mikey at 94. So in school, you get an A. A 94. A 94 is an A. You rank Kell Brook an 86. That's a B. So Spence beat a B. You're telling. So are you telling me that Spence is? That Mikey is that much better than Kell that you think that he could beat the guy that got. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You said it yourself.
Yep.
Of course, he's gonna ride with Mikey Garcia, like you said. He's the captain of the ship, so he got to go down with him. And
if you say
at the
so,
end
brother.
Of the day, at the end of the day, I look at it like this: when we do the resume test, we do it for Terrence Crawford. We do it all the time. Mikey Garcia's best to win is who?
Let's see. Orlando Salido would just be a jumping off point.
I want to let him answer it. I want to know his best win. Who's
Adrian
his best win?
Broner, Robert Easter, both by domination. And so
who's his best win?
I said Robert Easter and Adrian
so Robert
Broner
Easter,
by domination.
Okay. So his best opponent he beat is Adrian Broner or Robert Easter.
Yep.
Would you like to read me the resume now? Because I like to hear it because I was fighting for it. I like to hear you present me Adrian Broner's resume to tell me why I would think Adrian Broner losing Mikey Garcia beating Adrian Broner at 135, who Errol Spence is rumored to have. Hold on. I can't even say rumored. I was told face-to-face that he was put to sleep in sparring standing up halfway between the ropes by Errol Spence in sparring gloves. Bro, like, Mikey Garcia went 12 and 135 against him.
So,
Spence put him to sleep in sparring.
So it was actually a fight at 140.
Yeah, it was at 140.
Adrian Broner had maybe the first round and the 11th round is like kind of like sympathy rounds. Mikey Garcia. Well, I mean, let's watch the fight then. Anyway,
no, I'm just saying this fight this weekend. We just got to see, man. Like I hear it, I just can't ride with it. Like, because I know that you're not even picking Garcia to win.
Here's the thing.
You don't even think Garcia will win.
But
you have to ride with him. That's so crazy.
After time and evaluating their proficiencies and deficiencies, I see that there is a defensive deficiency for Errol Spence for every three rounds that Mikey makes adjustments. Okay, so Mikey will have to fight a almost perfect fight, and he will have to move a lot, and a lot of his potential success, according to the boy Smoke, is based on the left hook, right? So when you have a body puncher in Errol Spence, who is like the new version of the body snatcher, they do not like being hit in the body, right? So
nobody likes getting hit in the body.
Of course, but Spence is not being used to hitting the body because he's used to walking motherfuckers down and then just, you know, taking the L in the corner.
Mikey
ain't the type to take a knee or anything like that. Like, he ain't trying to propose to Spence or nothing. So I think that the very big component of the fight will be, can Mikey move away from Errol Spence's power, and in that, can he land power shots? And I think he can.
We'll see. Like I said, I guess we'll see. Like, this is only Monday, you know. Don't want to get too much heat. You know, we still got Thursday after the final press conference, but...
Smoke.
I don't know.
What? Smoke. Speak to me.
I just want you to repeat that statement. You just said, I quote, you said, Mikey Garcia has to fight a perfect fight. Now, just know that when people say that X fighter has to fight a perfect fight to beat Z fighter, you're already putting that fighter at a downhill battle. Because to fight a he has to be perfect for 12 rounds. 12 rounds!
So, P, we all know that some people in our crew like to gamble. So, what would the Vegas odds be on the fight?
What are the odds? I'll tell you what the odds are. I'm going to tell everybody what the odds are right now in one moment.
I'm asking.
You're asking me what I put on Mikey? I would put shit on Mikey. Like, I'm not putting anything on Mikey. I'm not stupid now.
I'm not sorry. I'm not gamble anyway, because like I said, this fight is not the way for me, so I don't have interest in gambling on it.
So here's the interesting thing, and I do not say this in any terms of shade to my colleagues. One of my colleagues says that boxing is the theater of unexpected, right? So you have a fighter like Mikey Garcia, who is textbook to a degree that you can't even pick out the subtleties. And I'm talking about being in the pocket and dodging punches that should have hit him, against guys that throw accurate punches. And so the only thing that Errol Spence has on him is body punching and size, right? So if Mikey can move around the ring, because Errol Spence, when he moves forward and he's not punching, he shuffles his feet a little bit. And that's the reason that Kell Brook was able to get off with his push-ass punches against him for the first six rounds. Hold up. So Mikey Garcia, if you look at the way that he throws his right hand, He does not throw it with any type of joke. Like, he doesn't throw it as a throwaway punch or a push punch or anything like that. He throws it with, you know, impact to hurt. So you take Kell Brook's. So if you put
Kell Brook's. I already seen Mikey Garcia 140 twice. That power doesn't exist like that, though.
How long ago was that? And was he working with Victor Conte?
I'm just trying to figure
back to back fights at 140. Right. Like, he's not that kind of dude.
I'm trying to figure 140.
He didn't have no knockouts at 140. Why are we talking like he's a knockout? He's old. He doesn't have any knockouts at 140. Why would I think he's going to go and knock out or damage somebody like Errol Spence? Who's, come on, man. Like, and to answer the odd favorite, in order for me to win on Mikey Errol Spence, bro, I got to – Errol Spence is a minus 1,000, bro. Like, is it serious? Like, this is the fight that we're really conversing. Like, it's really going to be a challenge. So, Smoke, if you really believe in him, you should put your money on him because Mikey is plus 550. He's plus 550. Plus 550. That's a lot.
Can I make a proclamation?
If you believe in him, that's plus 550.
Let it be known. Your boy Smoke says Mikey will win this fight 7-5. No knockdowns.
Of course not. He doesn't have that type of power.
I'm just trying to figure out when did Mikey become known as this defensive wizard? Because you're talking him up right now like he's a defensive wizard and he hasn't been getting hit. Like, the guy gets hit in fights. Like, he's getting hit against Lipinets. And Lipinets isn't a no disrespect to Lipinets, but he's not on Spence's level. So
I'm gonna just say this. If you're gonna say, hey, Mikey's no defensive wizard, like he's there to be hit, which he can be, but he also often always stays in position to counter, right? So Errol Spence himself is no defensive wizard. Actually, it'll be quite the opposite. He takes punches until he can get into the position to land his body shots.
But
so
that's the key.
So hold up. If you have a Mikey Garcia that has crazy power at 135 and decent power at 140, training with Victor, Barry Bonds, Conte, tell me, regardless of whatever medications he may have taken, you think...
Smoke trying to get the W by all means necessary.
I hope
Spence got VADA testing for this fight, man.
No, you know what? They don't.
Oh, no. Man, listen, man. I'm just saying, I mean, it's not just saying nothing, but... We've seen Garcia, you just said how Garcia had an opportunity. Like, you keep telling me how he put his hands all on my boy AB. But AB didn't drop once. So why would I think that? Hold on. So why would I think? I don't want to talk about AB. I'm just saying. I've seen AB put down, though, by Marcos Madonna. I haven't seen him put down by Mikey Garcia, who you're saying was putting all type of hands on him. So if Errol Spence, who's much bigger than Adrian Broner and hasn't been put down, is getting hit multiple times at even a higher weight class than Mikey Garcia, I'm not worried.
So
I'm not worried.
Say to that when Mikey fought Adrian Broner, he was fighting with his father and his brother as his main trainers and strength and conditioning coaches. He brought in Mr. Snack, a.k.a. Paws, a.k.a. Victor Conte, who is known for what? Barry Bonds, right? So Barry Bonds got with Victor Conte, and he went from hitting 45 home runs a year to 62. So hold up. If Mikey Garcia goes to knocking out a lightweight twice a year, and then he adds the Victor Conte stimulus package, What would make you think that his power was not legit at 147?
First of all, how dare you besmirch the name of Barry Bonds? You just compared Mikey Garcia to Barry Bonds. I'm sorry, but Mikey Garcia is no, he's not the Barry Bonds of boxing.
The Barry Bonds of boxing.
Barry.
Okay, you're putting a lot of stock in on fucking Victor Conti milkshake.
Yo, so I'm gonna say this. When Barry Bonds was in his early career,
he won three MVPs before. He won three MVPs before. Stop.
Pete. So say this because you got me animated right now. How many championships does Mikey Garcia have? Huh? How many different weight divisions? Does he have three in one weight division, or does he have four in four different?
What? He's a four-time champion in four different divisions.
Yeah,
now.
Four-time champion in four different divisions.
Well, you know where he
got
to win it.
The nerve.
But we need him to win that fifth one, though, Smoke. But we talking about him winning that fifth.
Yeah.
You got to win that fifth one. So we'll see this Saturday, but.
On Sunday morning, when y'all wake up with a Mikey Garcia hangover, and you're like, how do I cure this shit? And the only way is to write your boy Smoke a letter of apology for all the disrespect. I can't even talk no more. How is my boy Mikey?
Listen.
We about to wrap up, y'all. Let's let everybody get our last words in, too, because we already had an hour.
Sorry, you just said one last point. You just said that before. You said Spence's defense, like, you know, he puts himself in position, you know, to get hit so that he can land his. But so basically, his offense is his defense. And in this case, he could afford to because he's going against a smaller guy. Mikey can't afford to have his offense to be his defense, be his offense, to put in positions where he can be hit but counter. Because if he can counter him but he can't hurt Spence, then Spence could just now you're putting Spence in a position where he can really just let go and afford to get hit stiff so that he can let off his offensive shot. That's a bad position.
You're jumping to conclusions by saying that Spence cannot get hurt by Mikey.
We got to see, but we got to talk about this tomorrow, y'all.
Yep.
We got to keep something to talk to the people about tomorrow. So, with that being said, we're going to go around the table one more time and let y'all go around, you know, talk to the people one more time, and I'm going to wrap it up.
Yo, what up? It's your boy Smoke, a.k.a. the Mikey Garcia representative, a.k.a. the Colorado Cannabis Connoisseur. I want to say shout-outs to all my people from across the United States, from my boy Leon in California to Utah to New York State. We're going to be here live and direct on Saturday evening, and we'll talk about it after that, and that's all you got to say.
Yeah, what's good, Joe? It's Pat Scorpio, the New England representative. And as I mentioned before, this fight is just like, I'm just going to sit back and just watch the fireworks between Spence stands and Mikey stands. You know, shout out to everybody. And, I was at the Bivol Smith fight and everything like that. You'll see some pictures and some videos being uploaded later tonight or tomorrow, whatever. You know, shout out to Ringside Rave, my brothers, and you know, in this, and yeah, that's all I gotta say.
What up, y'all? This is your boy P. You already know, repping Ringside Rave all day, every day, and repping Bodega Boxing. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Bodega Boxing, and I'm just gonna sit back and enjoy the fight this weekend because I don't have a dog in the fight. I just want to just see some observations and just write things in my notebook on some fucking snitch, on some Mr. Bird shit, just taking notes. So I'm just have fun with this.
All right, y'all. And once again, it's your boy News representing Ringside Rave all day. Y'all know what it is with me, man. another beautiful episode of the Fade Hour, wrapping up episode 29. Again, I'd like to thank all my fellas for stepping through and having a drink.
Shout out!
You know, Smoke already, you can hear it in Smoke, he already talked himself to death. He wanted to go to sleep. I'm faded, so, you know, I'm chilling. And, you know, we'll be here tomorrow night to continue with the Spence Garcia talk. I want to talk about this every night because this fight is really going to be, to me, it's going to be a fight that, because you do have, at the end of the day, 2 pound-for-pound fighters getting it in this Saturday. Mikey Garcia is jumping up, really one-way class, but it's two since his last fight was at 135. So we'll get in more into this tomorrow after we see it. I think they do their workout tomorrow. I think they do workout for tomorrow. All right. So
I thought it was Wednesday.
Oh, yes. Okay. So this is going to rob on Tuesday, the Dallas fan.
Okay. Yo, so right. Can I give one last shout-out? Shout-out to Indian food. Like, Indian food, you impressed the fuck out of me, and I was very surprised with you. So shout-out to Indian food. Shout-out to Ringside Rave, all our boys. Let's get it in this Saturday.
Yes, sir. We'll be back, y'all, tomorrow at 10 p.m. Eastern time. Until then, we out.
One.